Our sermon text this morning comes from Psalm chapter 23. So if you want to open up your Bibles, turn it on, swipe, or follow along behind me. This is Psalm chapter 23, and this is God's word. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen.
Greetings to you all in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Good to see you all. You may all have a good Thanksgiving. I pray that you will be blessed through the message today. Our Lord Jesus, when he was teaching the people, he gave this instruction at the end. In Matthew 7:24, it says, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who builds his house on the rock. If he don't practice, does not put into practice, he is a foolish man. He is an idiot." That's a word, Greek word. The Lord speaks to the church, to his disciples, others who hear his word. Easy to hear, but to put into practice is the important thing. And we don't want to be foolish. We want to be wise. And here, this scripture today, I will be sharing Psalm 23. And this is a scripture also helped me when I was growing up as a Christian. During that time, I born and brought up in a Christian family in India. It's very rare. My dad will take us to the church, my mom. No matter what it is, at some point in life, we have to understand the gospel. Who is the Lord Jesus? So it came into through my professor who shared the gospel to me. God opened my eyes. So they gave me a Bible, and I was reading in my own language. I don't know this big book. I want to know, tell me one page, everything I want to learn. Who is my God? Who saved me? Who opened my eyes? So, you know, it is similar to the country. If you are going to a new place, you want to find out what is the entry point, port of the city, right? If you want to come to the United States, only a few places that you can, they will allow you to enter in. So in the Bible, similarly, it was good that I had a professor who taught me how to read God's word. He will show me, J.K., you want to know who is our God, what he does for us. Do you know? It is Psalm 23. This is the psalm where you will find the Lord, what he does. This is the one which should ignite you and which should be giving us a fuel when you are down, that our Lord is my shepherd. Would you turn to the other slide? We already read this one. The next slide. The next one. Yeah. So here, I hope you are able to see this word. I have marked some things. The Lord is my shepherd. It's also written as a Psalm of David, who was a shepherd. Probably he was a writer of this psalm, and he is experiencing his own Lord, and he is giving us here to see who is our Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. It's a very personal connection, and he is telling us I don't lack anything. That's I shall not in want. I lack nothing. That's the way it is a literal translation. Why would he say that? The Lord is my shepherd. I don't lack anything. And then he says the list of things that he recollects and God provides for his children. And here, God knows your needs. That is the truth, brothers and sisters. No matter what you may be going through in life, you may be thinking about your family, your relationship, finance at the end of the year, your job. God says that he knows our needs. The Lord is my shepherd. He knows my need. Before we ask, he provides us. And here, he leads me. Look at that. It says six scenes that you can see here. The first scene comes here. He takes us to the green pasture. In life, brothers and sisters, it's a one-way journey, our life. You will encounter the church people in your life only once, and you will be passing by. And when you follow the Lord and he is taking you a place where you will grow, and if this church is the place where God has brought you and you want to grow, I pray that you talk to our pastor. You can be a member of this church wherever you God is taking you, and he provides to grow in his word. And here, he makes me to lie down in green pasture, and he leads me beside quiet waters. God, in a pictorial way, he is telling us that he is the provider. I will provide. When you and I read, it may not go in our heart. Let me tell you, brothers and sisters, do you know, November 20th, the world population, it exceeded 8 billion people. 1.4 billion people, they live in the country where I come from, India. The government says 715 million people, that's twice the size of the population of US, they go to bed without food. Do you think that this scripture, what I read, is not true for them? Our God is a territorial God only for Americans. Few years ago, I was watching television where at the end of the school year, the reporter, AJC reporter, he's taking to school, every school, and his graduation party, the last day of school, high school, middle school, every school. And here, an elementary school, he is going and talking to all the kids who are playing. Hey, kids, are you all excited for your summer vacation? These kids are all joyful and, yes, we're all excited. And then this guy who was interviewing those children, he just moved on, right? He is American. He heard joyful kids, okay. And then these children are all, mister, but we are also sad. This guy was shocked. He came back and he was showing, well, why you are all, you are going to have a summer vacation. No, we will miss our lunch. Do you know 9 million kids in the United States, they go to bed without food? Not in India, somewhere I'm talking about, brothers and sisters. That is why we have a ministry here, benevolence ministry. We may not be able to provide for everyone in this world, but our God is telling here that he is the shepherd. He will provide for his people. And that is the promise that we believe. And God uses us as an instrument. Early church, we all studied Acts. Our pastor preached some time ago. Second chapter, you can read 42. Everybody together in one place, they're all enjoying prayer and all these things. Kumbaya, right? They're all singing, everybody. What happened? Sixth chapter, Acts 6 chapter, it says there was a big confusion. People, widows were neglected. They don't have food to eat. So how did the Lord provide for these people? Go back and read that chapter 6. God uses us, you and me, for our blessing our life to someone, and you provide. That is why this season that we are in, now Thanksgiving is gone, next month we'll be in Christmas, invite someone who will be able to, you can provide a meal for them in their life. And thank God for Terry and her ministry here. I always tell her that our church, Tabitha, there's a story in Acts you can read, and she's the one who collects all the bags and she provides for the people here in this local community. Brothers and sisters, that is how God provides for his people. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I don't lack anything. When my children, when they all gone to colleges, what is the thing I pray? I know that they all have a good place to stay, good place to eat. Lord, you provide them good friends. That is the good pasture, green pasture here God is talking about. Wherever you go, brothers and sisters, God will bring for his children good people. The question is, are you that person receiving, or are you the person who can be a blessing to others? And then God says, he is taking us to from quiet waters. He's telling us that he is the one who restores the soul. We all need refreshment in our life. God says that he is the one who can restore, who can give us the hope that we needed in the condition that we are going through. And God says that he is the one who provides for his people. The next one, now the scene changes from green pasture to water to now path. As a journey, it says, he guides me in the paths of righteousness. You can see here, I highlighted green pastures. It's a plural. It's not just in English. In Greek, Hebrew also, and waters. And then he says, paths, he guides me in paths of righteousness, meaning paths of right path, God guides us. This shows us that our life in this world, we are in a journey. Statistics says that and the average, an American family stays in one place, one city, only 7 years. After that, they move on to another place. Right? Here, God says that there are many different choices in our life will come. God is a God of variety of ways that he provides for his people the right path. Even, it says, fourth verse, even though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will never fear evil. How would the Lord is giving the promise that he guides me in the righteous path? How can I become suddenly walking in the valley of shadow of death? It is not only for people who are doing the wrong thing, but here it is for God's people. God may take you to a valley of shadow of death, where he may teach you to know what is the things that he wants you to learn and to be a blessing to others. And here, it's the deepest darkness. That's the word which is translated as shadow of death. Brothers and sisters, are you in that valley? God says that his presence is with you. He is closer to you. It's very interesting way. Do you see that difference here? First three verses, the psalmist, he is saying that the Lord is my shepherd. He is telling as a witness, right? He makes me to lie down. He leads me. Suddenly, in the valley, what happens to him? He changes from the third person to second person. He becomes not just witnessing, he is worshiping God. And he says that, "You are with me, God." From then on, he talks to God. In life, brothers and sisters, if you are in going through this valley of shadow of death, that the Lord, remember that you can be promised. God is promising you that he is with you. And he will comfort you. And he will discipline you. The area where you need to grow, that only he knows, that he will comfort with rod and staff. And then comes the later part, fifth verse, God is taking us another scene, the scene five here. You prepare a table, you, now it's the second person, it's from then on. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. What does it mean? Right? Many times we read the scripture, we want to understand what was the thing that he is trying to teach. Here, it is similar to the last verse, since the whole psalm is here. The last verse, it says, surely goodness and love will follow me all the day of my life, right? I'll come to that one, but I just want to tell you, figurative way of some things that you and I read, unless you understand the cultural settings, we may not be able to understand what he's trying to say. For example, when I came to the United States 31 years ago, I did not know the word, many words that they use here, okay? They use the same word for different stuff. For example, tailgate. Hey, you are tailgating, okay? And then I come to my office, they are saying that, oh, tailgate party. What is that tailgate? I don't understand American English, right? Tailgate. God says that tailgate is goodness and love. Okay? If somebody is coming close to your car, right? God says that that close, goodness and mercy will come, right? Same way here. You prepare a table. It's not that mercy is another lady is driving, okay? It is here, God says that you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Do you know, brothers and sisters, in the same Psalm 78:19, you can go back and you can read 78:19, where psalmist says that, Lord, is it possible for you to feed us? When they were walking in the wilderness from Egypt to Promised Land, they were asking God, God, is it possible? Can you provide us food? Our God is a God who does impossible thing. Brothers and sisters, that is what here it means. He is saying that you prepare a table before me means, God, nothing is impossible with you. Is there something that you are struggling in your life, brother and sister? God will give you the strength and he will use you as an instrument to bless someone else's life. And here, that is the meaning of you anointed my head. When you come to the Lord, you know what he will do? He will give you task. He will say, I will bless you, okay? That's good. But he will also make you to work for him. Simple example is Peter. I always marvel. Peter got into trouble, right? Many times we see his brother comes and says, hey, we found a Messiah. So Andrew is telling Peter. Okay, now Peter comes and the Lord says, I will make you fisher of men. Now, here is Peter who is a fisherman. He knows how to fish. But the Lord comes, he's a carpenter, he comes and says, I will make you a fisherman. What do you mean by, I am a software engineer, you come, you do some other, Tim is here, he's an electrician, and he comes and tells me, JK, I'll teach you. It's like that, right? The known profession. But Peter, he did not ask anything. Lord, I know fisherman how to do things. The next story in the Bible, if you read, the Lord comes to him and asks him early morning, and Peter, can you give me your boat? I want to stand and preach. And the Lord preached. Peter was listening. And then at the end, the Lord says, everybody is gone. Our Lord, when he uses you, brothers and sisters, remember this story, that he will always reward his people. Everybody is gone. Peter, did you get anything? No. No fish. We are failure. Okay, take the boat. Go inside. And Peter has to convince the Lord. Lord, the whole night we tried. Nothing happened. Lord knows your failures, brothers and sisters. That is the God we serve. We don't need to be hiding behind things. No. We can boldly come before the Lord, ask his blessing. Peter obeyed the Lord's voice, and here the Lord says, put the net. And they got a great fish. Here the Lord says, when he comes to you and me, he is a generous God. That is what it means. You prepare a table before me. Nothing is impossible for you in the presence of my enemy. You anoint my head. That is, you recruit me to do your work, Lord. And my cup overflows. This cup business also is a very interesting one for non-American who come from India, right? When I went to in Texas, shop Taco Mac. I don't know where, Taco Bell, some. They were asking me. I said, okay, give me a drink. Medium, small, large, jumbo. I said, what did you say? I asked, give me a cup of Coke. No, you tell me the size. We give different size. In India, we don't have size. Everything is same size. But here, our Lord says, your cup may be jumbo, brothers and sisters. It may be large. The Lord will fill you. Lord will use you, and you will be a blessing to others. He is a generous God. The God on whom we worship, he is a mighty God, and he will make use of you in this life. And then at the end it says, surely indeed goodness and love, and that is the mercy, will follow me all the day of my life. And then the statement, third statement, the first statement, I shall not in want, and then he will say that even though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil. That's a confession, right? The last one, I will dwell in the house of the Lord. So the Lord has blessed all these things. He's God one who provides for his people direction. And he's the one who gives the desire to follow him. And it says at the end, I will dwell in the house of the Lord. Now that part I'm going to take 5 or 10 minutes to tell you what is the meaning. What do you think of dwelling? Many of you, the church is when it is done, some will run away, right? Some will dwell. Meaning they will talk, they will ask others, they will pray together. And things like that. Here in this place, it says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord. There, the house of the Lord, what do you mean by house of the Lord? It is for the psalmist, it's a temple. They have the Jerusalem temple where that's the meaning of the word, house of the Lord. And do you know what they do in the house of the Lord, in the early temple? We can refer in Psalm itself, many places. What did they do? In your house, what do? You cook, you eat, you play with children, you go to bed, you invite your friends. What else you do? You watch TV now, right? Many things you may do, you will learn. So here, someone says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord. For him, it's a great privilege that he can go to God's house. I don't know how many of you have been invited to some great official's house. Think of your, I don't know, many of you maybe you own your own business, but CEO, my company CEO, I never went anywhere, 7 or 8 companies I worked, no one has invited me to their home. Right? Here, Psalmist says, with a great assurance, Lord, you will invite me before your presence. I will dwell in your presence. There are 3 things the people of God, they do when they come together in the house of the Lord. You can go back and read Matthew 21. Our Lord Jesus, he entered into the Jerusalem temple. He saw all the people who are doing business, religious business, right? They are selling cattle and all these things. He came and he cleaned up everybody. And then it says, blind and the lame came to him. He healed them. That is the place our Lord's presence. Brothers and sisters, our Lord says his house is a house of prayer. And here, Psalmist says, I want to come. I want to seek your face. The great desire that God gives for his life. And he wants to express that his love for the Lord by associating with God's people. You chose to come here to show the Lord what he has done in your life by worshiping here. The Lord will bless you. And here, not only here worshiping, here we will also work for the Lord. You see in Psalm, one of the places where you will notice that, oh Lord, I want to be a doorkeeper in your house. Well, what do you mean by doorkeeper? We have a lot more work to do here. So God says that God's children, when they come together, they worship him, they pray. It's because God's house is house of prayer, and they will also witness the Lord. Not only these 4 walls becomes a place of God's worship. No, when we go outside, we witness to the world who is our Lord. And I pray that God will give you the great desire that God has given us through this psalm, that you can be a good shepherd too. We know that the Lord is a good shepherd, that's okay. But are you a good shepherd to your family and friends? How can I take people to green pasture and water? I pray that the children who are learning God's word now, somebody is feeding them, right? You can be a part of that work and you can help others to learn God's word. You can be a restorer of someone's family who are going through a difficult time. God says he does all those things, but he does everything through you and me. And he guides us. How many of our children, they are longing someone to guide, to show the direction in their life, which path that they need to choose. And God says that he is the one, he guides us, but he guides us through you and me. And he is telling us, he prepares a table before my enemy. Literally, you can take it. Have you ever invited anyone in your home and sat in your table and ate food? This would be a challenge, and you can invite them. There are a lot of us here. They all need you. And I remember my elder daughter, she'll tell me this. Daddy, I never forget this day when I went to Gail Bailey's home, and at that time, Steve Bailey is here, they taught me how to cook. They'll take all the teenagers, and she still remembers after so many years. As I pray that God will use your life. I will end with this one, so you may be challenged in your faith walk with the Lord. Okay, the entire psalm is about the shepherd, right? Sheep. The Lord was with that sheep, and what is the one desire of that sheep in Israel? What is that one desire of, I'm taking it here, literally the meaning of sheep. Do you think that the sheep, when it comes to the Jerusalem temple, will go back home alive? Nope. What happens to the sheep? They will sacrifice the sheep. That is what the psalmist here, he is telling. Are you committed to the Lord's work? Are you sacrificing your life? When you come to the Lord and surrender your life to Him, He will use you. And your life will be a blessing to others. Let us go to the Lord in prayer and ask the Lord. No matter what challenge you may be going through in life, brothers and sisters, remember our Lord is good. And goodness and mercy will always be that track behind you. When you look back, you can praise Him during this Thanksgiving week, this month. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you. We bless you for teaching us you are our shepherd. Lord, no matter what we may go through in life, nothing is hidden from your sight. We all need you, Lord, where we will go. Lord, you use us. Help us, Lord, to dwell among your people, not to be just coming to church and running away, but, Lord, to be involved and to be a blessing to others. Lord, we thank you for all the ministry that you have given us. Lord, we praise you. We thank you for our children, especially all the little ones who are learning your word. Lord, we thank you for all the workers that you have given us. This time of season of Thanksgiving, we thank you for our pastor. We thank you for Pastor Dan and all the people that you provided us. Thank you for Shelley and his family. Lord, thank you for the Michelle who is going to join here. Lord, we thank you. We bless you, Lord, for their life. Continue to use our church as a blessing to many more people in the upcoming years. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.